In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, he can harm us none, he's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. There is some interesting juxtapositioning going on with election today. There is the battle in heaven between Michael and the devil, with the devil losing and being cast down in Revelation, and Jesus mentioning seeing Satan fall from heaven like lightning in the gospel. It's interesting because you just can't put a time to any of it. When does this one thing happen in relation to what else is going on? It's difficult to say with any certainty. So St. John was privileged to witness the battle in heaven between the devil and his army against St. Michael, the archangel, and the angelic host of heaven. Michael and his army defeated the devil and his army and cast them out of heaven. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death." It might seem as if what John was given to see was an event in the past, as the past is commonly understood, when the devil sought godly power and was cast out of heaven before finding the crafty serpent in order to tempt the woman in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps that is the case, and one might need to meddle with time a bit to get the beginning parts of Job to fit in with that and make it all work. However, suffice it to say that Michael and his angels prevailed, and now woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Take note, however, of the means by which Michael prevailed against the devil. Salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. The devil has been cast down, overthrown, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Whose testimony? The brethren's testimony. Perhaps specifically those 70 disciples who went before Jesus into the cities and places he was going to go. But certainly also those who speak of this Jesus the Christ and the wonderful work that he has done to bring salvation to mankind. The evangelists and apostles, pastors and teachers, and you as you speak to your neighbors. The word of their testimony is the gospel of Christ. God and man are reconciled through the one who is both God and man. God incarnate, who placed himself under his own law for you, kept every bit of it, including the requirement of your death for your trespasses. There's the blood of the Lamb by which the devil is overthrown. As time is commonly understood, this shedding of the Lamb's blood didn't happen until thousands of years after the woman was tricked and Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. It was promised then, and Eve thought the promise was fulfilled as she bore Cain, then Seth, but it wasn't until the Son of God and Son of Mary was nailed to the cross of Golgotha that the Lamb shed his blood as a propitiation for sin. Yes, it was that propitiatory sacrifice by which the devil was defeated by Michael and his angels. The power in the defeat of the devil lies solely and completely in Christ. The one little word can fell him, to which the brethren attest. As one of those brothers attested, namely St. Luke, 70 or 72 disciples, depending on which manuscript you read, having been sent two by two by Jesus, returned to him with wonderful reports. Joyfully they exclaimed, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." By a word, the demons trembled before the disciples. I imagine that as they went preparing Jesus' way, they proclaimed the nearness of the kingdom of God, healed diseases, restored sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, made the mute to speak, and cast out demons, all in the name of Jesus. It must have been a sight to behold, a sight many charlatans today attempt to replicate in order to line their pockets. But not these men, who were told to bring nothing along for their journey, but to rely only on the providence of God through those who received them. Once again, one little word fell the demons. Though they fill the world eager to devour many, they are beholden to the one who died that all may live. Even as in Job, God allowed the devil to go only so far. The promise made to the serpent back in Genesis is fulfilled as those 70 disciples spoke that word. Jesus has crushed their head. Satan is powerless in the face of Jesus. Once again, though, time plays a factor in how all of this works. Or perhaps it does not. The disciples were able to subdue the demons in Jesus' name before the crushing blow was made at Golgotha. Nevertheless, that crushing blow is the means by which the disciples subdue the demons. From the perspective of history, the victory had not yet been won, yet in the providence of the Father, by way of the Son, the victory was always won. Even for the likes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as far back as Adam and Eve, and many, many more. As man sees it, all of what happened before Jesus' crucifixion points toward that day. The binding of Isaac, the blood on the doorposts and lintels in Egypt, the lambs sacrificed at the temple. And they were all shadows of the thing to come and fulfilled in it. But that thing, the sacrifice of Jesus, has always been the conclusion, as it was promised of God. It is finished. That continues to be the case forward to this day, even into the future, to the end of time. Notice the verb tense there. It is finished, not it was finished. It's the same thing as saying you are baptized, not you were baptized. And so with joy, the disciples relayed their report. It's probably safe to say that they didn't fully realize why or how it all happened, but they were overjoyed to see the power of God being worked through them. It was evidence that God is at work not only through them, but for them. It is a sign for you that God and man are reconciled, as proclaiming the nearness of the kingdom of God tells. Still these days, however, that singular event is in the past. Jesus has died and is risen again. You have the propitiation through his blood shed for you a couple of millennia ago, and you are reconciled to God by the work of the man who is God, accomplished for you when he died on the cross. Nevertheless, it is finished. He has redeemed you. Therefore, you are redeemed. He has restored you to that which was rightfully yours in Eden. Therefore, you are restored. This is true, though now you do not fully realize it apart from hearing it every so often, because you hear it reported to you in the Word of God. Therefore, it is true and it is certain. You are redeemed, bought back from death to life, renewed in the waters of holy baptism, forgiven and given remission of all your sins by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus has promised to return to gather you to himself. Your place in him is guaranteed in his word, which is sure and remains forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not the word of God. Therefore, your place is sealed where Jesus has gone. You have a guaranteed place from which Satan and his army was cast by Michael and his army. Jesus said he was going there to prepare a place for you. You have his word on it, the very same word which proclaims his victory over the devil. In the meantime, those demons still fill the earth. Down here on earth is where Satan was cast, hence the word of woe after Michael's victory. Those demons, as they have always done, seek to devour you. They seek to wrestle you away from God that you may suffer the same end as they. Those that fall with them do so by their own will. However, for no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. But the truth remains, one little word can fell them. Satan and his army are still beholden to the will and power and word of God. It is finished. By a word, Satan and his army were cast out of heaven. Jesus. By a word, the demons were subject to the disciples. Jesus. By a word, the devil has no power over you to make you tremble. Jesus. Let him scowl as fiercely as he wishes. Let him take all of your earthly possessions and treasures. Let him threaten your very health and life. You have no need to tremble or fear any of it. Let him do his worst. You have Jesus. Or more precisely, Jesus has you. And that's the point that Jesus makes. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How wonderful that the demons were subject to the disciples in Jesus' name. Wonderful still that that same word used by you fells the devil and his demons. But better than all of this is that your name is written in heaven. There at the font, you are named, and named a child of God. In other words, Jesus has you. He has you in his conception, birth, and life. He has you in his work. He has you in his death and resurrection. He has you in his ascension. He has you in his return. You are covered in his blood, washed in the font by word and water. His blood is on you, by which you have the forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.